My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we're back on the Blitz. Do we have not have Fred again?
Jesus. No, that's my fault. I didn't unmute it. Okay, I got to fix this thing. I'll do it on the next break. We're back on the Blitz, hour number two, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776, or you can get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show, the number for that. You missed the first hour. You missed me dying, apparently. You missed Josh filling in for a little bit as we continue to work through some technical issues, which that one was my fault. I'll take full blame for that. But the first part was not. The first part was the computer god's fault. So there you go. Texas Red asks, why is spitting sunflower seeds grosser than spitting tobacco? Did I say it was grosser? They're both gross. I think constant spitting in public is gross. I'm sorry. You do it in your own home. I don't care. But I mean, there have been guys at the poker table sitting next to me spitting their tobacco into a cup. I'm sorry, I find that gross.
That's especially different now than doing it outdoors on the ground.
Yeah, but I've also seen people do sunflower seeds at a poker table. That's gross.
Yeah, I'm that's sorry. Pretty gross, too. I don't like that either.
Yeah, so if you're at home, go for it. Or your backyard, whatever. But nobody wants to see people spit in public. It's disgusting. So, 713-780 ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. 3-2 asks, what do you think of the wine or whiskey tasting, the swish and spit method? I got news for you. I've done the wine thing once. Ain't for me. I don't like seeing people spit all over the place. Whiskey, I'm drinking that stuff. I ain't spitting it out.
You know what? I did at that whiskey event. I forget what it's called, the one that Chris Hart always promotes. What's it called, Tyler? I know the
Now I'm drawing
the Houston Whiskey
Not
Social.
Whiskeys of the world.
Houston Whiskey Social.
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah. Amazing event. And, yeah, I spit some whiskey out at that thing because if I hadn't, I would have been S-housed.
Yeah,
and it's widely accepted to do that there. So I was okay with it.
Yeah, I avoid that. I just ask for smaller pours. But because I know at some point during the night, I'm going to have had too much whiskey. There's just no way you can go to one of those and not get that way. So I always try to pick the ones that I know I want, and then you kind of go to the second and third tier.
Yeah.
But I think in the Rotaverse, maybe that's something that needs to be looked at.
Maybe so.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just me. I just find that gross. That's all.
You worry about weird stuff. I mean, if someone spits on me, that's a different conversation. That's gross.
Well, but they don't, you know, a lot of times they're not trying to spit on you.
Well, then if I ever spit my seeds on someone accidentally, I would ban myself from using seeds again.
Well, there you go.
But I've got good control. I've got good shell control, as they call it.
Oh, well. Hey, I got some more betting odds for the NFL for you if you're interested.
I'll take it.
Some over-unders on totals for players. Like passing touchdowns. Give me a player and what you think the passing total for their touchdowns is, and I'll give you the actual total.
Okay. Well, and are these totals assuming a 16-game season?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess let's start with Patrick Mahomes. This is passing touchdowns only, correct?
Passing touchdowns only.
I will go Patrick Mahomes. I bet they set the over-under at, 31.
36 and a half.
Ooh, ooh. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Big number, huh?
What was the, who, like, didn't... What,
he's the highest on the board.
36 was the leader in the clubhouse last year, if I'm not mistaken. I think Lamar Jackson had the most touchdown passes. I want to say it was 36.
Yeah, well, he did have 50 the year before, so...
That's true. Okay.
And he missed some time last year.
That's true. Maybe 36 is a better number.
Yeah, so that, but that is by far the highest.
Okay. Second place, I'll guess, is Russell Wilson.
You are correct.
31.5.
30.5.
Ooh, very close good. One. All right, all right.
Yeah.
You give me the name. Who's next on the list? I'll give you the number.
Drew Brees.
That's going to be 28.5.
30.5 also.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Theodore Brady.
Oh. Whatever it is, I'm betting the under. If it's anywhere around those guys, let's go 27.
29.5. And yes, I like the under on that also.
Oh, yeah.
Here's another one I like the under on, even though I like the player. I just don't know if he can stay healthy. Ben Roethlisberger.
27.5. Oh, okay.
And just to skip down, Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott, same number as Ben. 27.5.
Where's our boy Deshaun Watson?
There's a few more guys ahead of him. Let me throw those numbers out for you. Also at 27.
James Garoppolo,
27.5.
What about Matthew Ryan?
Also 27.5.
Who else can now be in
your
that
group?
Aaron Rodgers?
He's in the next group of 26.5. Here, who else? Here's the other guys in this group, and you tell me which one sounds like he doesn't belong. Well, there's two of them, actually. Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Philip Rivers, Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones.
Ooh, they all have the same number?
26.5.
Oof. All right, Danny. Danny Dimes, I see you. Although I think Daniel Jones had like, he had 24 or 25 last year, I think.
Yeah, he did. But boy, that seems like, if I could bet a heads up Lamar Jackson versus Daniel Jones for most touchdown passes, taking Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, look here. Daniel Jones, 24 touchdowns last year. He only started 12 games. So that number might not be wild.
It just seems odd that he has the same number as Deshaun, Lamar Jackson, Philip.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers. I guess it just shocks me a little bit that that's the case. But and then the next group is Matty Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Kirk Cousins, all 24.5. Here's another must under for me. Gardner Minshew, 23.5.
Yeah, way under.
Jared Goff, 23.5. I think he could bounce back.
I do too. And I think Jared Goff was in the 20s last year.
Yeah. Samuel Darnold, also 23.5.
Okay. Where's old Baker?
Baker was 24.5.
Okay. Ooh, that seems a little high.
A little bit.
What about Joshua Allen?
Sir Josh Allen, I like to call him, 22.5.
Okay. See, I'm trying to find some value here. What about Ted Bridgewater?
Theodore Bridgewater, 23.5.
Give me under.
Yeah. How about Jose Burrow?
Although, you know what? Ted Bridgewater, that's a risky under because they've got a running back that gets a lot of receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, but he's always at risk of getting hurt, too.
That's true. So,
which I always like to factor into these things. Jose Burrow, interested in him?
21.5.
Ding, 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 ding.
Nice.
Same as Ryan Tannehill, by the way. The two lowest numbers on the board, one would be an over for me, the other an under. Derek Carr, 19.5.
Over.
Yeah, I'm with you. Dwayne Haskins, 18.5.
Under.
Yeah. So I've got receiving touchdowns, I've got passing yardage, receptions, all kinds of stuff we can get to if you like. We don't have to do them all at once right now, but yeah. So,
yeah, we can dig into some more numbers later in the show.
Yeah,
it's always fun to talk a little football, even though every time we do, I'm always like, yeah, they're not gonna play full 16 game. It's not gonna matter.
Yeah, that's the thing that always concerns me just a little bit, is that, you know, if it's a 12-game season, I'm assuming that these come off the board if that's the case, right? I mean, they're all got to be based on 16-game
season. Yeah, it's got to be.
Well, we mentioned some winners on there. I'm going to tell you about another winner, my man Dr. Linville. And, man, if you want your hair back, this is the way to go. And I looked at so many different things, and finally, I'd given up. I was just going to shave it. I mean, I looked terrible. Well, Dr. Linville, after meeting with him, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot. And, boy, did it work. Basically, it's your own hair. He basically takes the individual follicles from the back of your head, and he just transplants them to where you don't have hair. And in my case, it was like 2,451 hair follicles that they moved. And the great thing is, it's been several months now, and it's grown out nicely. And I love it. It makes me look totally different. I'm so happy. I'm just going to let it keep growing out. And he just wants to help guys out like you, like me, and even himself. And if you're in your 20s or 30s and you're going bald, man, get it done now before people start noticing. And it makes all the difference in the world. And guess what? He had it done himself, so he knows all about it. And his hair looks fantastic. Also, he'll be back in the office this week. So if you can, you can get your consultations now. You can still do the virtual consultations, but you can get it set up. And now that they're going to be back up and running, you get a chance to go in there and get your hair back. Go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com. Get your hair back, guys. Don't settle for being bald. 975hair.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. You guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear Fred.
Sorry. I can't hear myself now. This is something's really up with this thing, but hey, no worries.
Fred's going into the studio tomorrow, starting tomorrow.
Hey, yeah, Fred, I'm giving this one more day. What?
How were you? How did you feel about the news that there's going to be a documentary about the Astros trash can banging? Are you interested in it?
No. I mean, I got sick of that whole story. Like, we learned everything we needed to learn. What the hell else is there?
I don't know. I'm interested to see, like, there's going to be some, I guess there's, you know, like some players are going to speak, which I don't know if they're going to be Astros players or players they played against or the people who maybe Mike Fiers will be involved. I don't know. But I'm kind of interested to see what goes on with it. And I thought it was also interesting. Did you see Alex Bregman? His agent is and he's one of the he's involved with the group that's putting it on. And Alex Bregman fired him today.
Yeah, I did see that. It doesn't really matter because
he already got his money. already got his percentage. Who cares if he's fired now?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll watch it. I'm not. It's one of those topics in general that I think was so overdone that I was so sick of it by the end. And on all sides, by the way, not just the whiny ass Dodger fans, but also the Astros fans and their reaction to it. And the way the players acted, I mean, other than Carlos Correa, who at least to me came off as the one guy in this thing that I really respected what he had to say because he was answering honestly. But, you know, I don't know, man. It's just not right now in particular. I just have zero interest in reliving any of that stuff. And I'll watch it because it's the Astros and maybe they'll be – I'm hopeful that there'll be some things we didn't know about that they dive into, but it also depends on who's doing the documentary and what their, you know, what their agenda is. Is it to make the Astros look good or bad or whatever? I mean, it's as much as I love documentaries, they're just as biased as everything else. So
yeah,
I'd want to know exactly. Well, I'll find out, I guess, when I watch it. But to answer your question, no, I have almost zero interest, but I will watch it because I kind of have to.
I guess I'm kind of interested. Maybe I'm a sucker, but I'm interested to see because obviously there's got to be something new if they're making a documentary about it. Otherwise, what's the point of making a documentary if all we're going to see is everything we know already? They've got to have something.
You say that, but this thing happened 6 months ago. So they're just trying to capitalize. Obviously, it was such a big deal. The fact that everybody in the world had a reaction to it. Yeah, I'd do a documentary too if I thought it would sell and make me some money. I'd do it tomorrow. And so that, you know, I'm just skeptical because it just seems like trying to capitalize on it, on a situation, because it seems to me it would be so much better 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Right on the heels of it. So, because you'll get more information by then. At some point, somebody's going to retire.
And then they'll talk about it.
Yeah, they'll talk a lot more about it. So, no, not interested. Yes, we'll watch it.
Okay.
And hopefully I'll be surprised. Hopefully I'll get some things that I wasn't expecting. But I just, I love documentaries, but there's so many questions I always have, which is, you know, who's doing it? Why? What, you know, what angle are they going to take? What are they going to leave out? I mean, there's so much that goes into making these things to do them right. That's why the serial killer ones that are usually the best, because by then you know everything about these guys.
That's true.
But there's no, although even some of those, they'll have like, oh, this guy's not really guilty. Or like the whole, the worst one was the damn Rodriguez one, the Patriots guy. I mean, it was like trying to make him look like it wasn't his fault. Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, Hernandez.
It was just, I thought that was terrible. The whole thing was like, oh, well, he had this bad upbringing and he had this, and maybe he didn't kill this one guy. Really? Okay. But if they get in-depth interviews from people involved, I'd like to see that.
Wow. Well, I'm curious to see what they do with it who they get to talk. I'm guessing Mike Fiers will probably talk. That seems like almost like you'd need that.
Yeah.
I'm guessing no other Astros from that team will talk, but I'm interested.
See, I would be more interested if they did talk about it. And like I said, when Correa spoke, talking about how little Altuve used it and things like that, that was interesting to me. That's what I want some of it, if they're going to do that. But I guess we'll find out. Like I said, I'll watch it. I'll watch it when it comes out, but I'm not exactly holding my breath that I'm going to get something great or even something that interesting, because again, it's a topic that I think is so played out, and it does seem awful soon on the heels of it. It just feels like a capitalization thing. Hey, let's jump on this while people are still mad. And maybe I'll be completely wrong and it'll be like the best thing ever. And I'll be the first one to admit it.
Probably won't be the best thing ever, but I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah. So I guess it's LeBron's company's doing it.
Yeah, which that adds fuel to the fire. Which my guess, LeBron, he's one of these. I don't think LeBron is super hands on with this stuff. I think he owns the company that's putting it out. I don't think he's gonna participate in the documentary. Although he was one of those guys who was upset about it at the beginning. If you remember, he posted a video talking about it. Like he's out on any kind of cheating like that. And I'm curious if he does have a take on it. He may. I guess I didn't consider that when I first heard it. I was like, oh, it's just his company putting it out. But maybe he does have something he wants to say about it.
Well, and also consider this. If you're his company and you're doing it, you're going to want to do a documentary that fits what his opinions are on it.
True.
You do work for him. So I think, so he says, I hope it includes testing the acoustics and sounds of different trash cans and sticks. And stuff like getting into the whole where if you get somebody talking about a specific trash can thing while it was happening and they're playing it and saying, okay, here's this at bat, that would be cool. That I could get into.
But we're not expecting that.
No, I'm not expecting. I guess I have low expectations. It feels like a let's jump on this now while it's hot thing. To
Maybe
me, the
so.
Best documentaries are years later. But that's just me. That doesn't mean I'm right.
I mean, either way, you'll watch it. I'll watch it. A lot of people are going to watch it, no matter
what.
Oh,
yeah.
Whether you hate the Astros or you're an Astros fan, Astros fans are going to watch it, too, so they can bitch about it the next day. That's just, I mean.
Absolutely. Oh, no, I'll watch it because I have to. But
and which eventually, you know, Astros fans often forget, like lost in all of this, is that the Astros did cheat. So I know,
yeah.
I mean, I get that they're your favorite team and all that stuff, and I'm not with the other 29 fan bases that think that there needed to be some sort of death penalty passed down onto them, but they did cheat. There's no way the Astros come out of this looking like the good guys, because the truth is, they were the bad guys. So, but I am curious to see how the whole thing is presented.
Yeah, I am too. And I think we've been pretty consistent about this the whole time. It's like, look, they cheated. They got caught. They got punished. And for people who are wanting something more than that, well, that's just silly. But let's not pretend like it didn't happen.
Right.
And, you know, so I don't know where else there is to go with it, I guess, is the thing. And other than it just let's capitalize on the fact that this is a hot topic. And I was just starting to think it was dying down a little bit. And by the way, you know what? They may get a death penalty anyway. If Rona were to knock out the season, then we've talked about this. This is the last run with this group as a World Series contender, in my opinion, because they're going to have to make some changes. And in that case, you know, this could be a death penalty. So Randy says it's going to be, this is the worst thing ever. Forget steroids and other things. I think that's what most Astros fans probably expect.
That's probably a fair expectation, too.
And I guess it is an L.A.-based company, so it makes sense
also,
that they would take that angle.
I mean, and this is what I said all along about this. The reason why this is going to be looked at as more of a big deal than the steroids thing is because there wasn't a single team who could say, oh, well, our team didn't do steroids. We didn't have any steroid player. Like, there's actually teams who feel like they've been wronged by this, because I don't think every team in the majors was doing what the Astros were doing. But I do think that that's part of why they'll make it sound like it's worse than steroids, because literally every team had somebody on it that was involved in steroids in some kind of way.
Well, except I do think let's not pretend other teams weren't doing it. They just weren't doing it to this extent, to this
right.
organized extent.
Well, and they didn't get caught.
Right, right. And that's the big difference. Hey, can I give some good news here?
Please.
The Falcon 9 beer that we did with True Anomaly will be available Wednesday the 27th of May.
All right.
It's going to coincide with the SpaceX Falcon 9 launch. So the beer will be available then, and there's only a little over 300 bottles. So you and Tyler don't have to worry about it. I got you guys covered. But
sweet.
If you want it, then you better get there early, and it turned out fantastic. But as soon as it's official, just depends if they may push the bottle release if there's any issues here between now and then. But that's the tentative date is Wednesday, May 22nd. And I expect it to go very fast, but yeah, I will have one for you guys.
All right. All right.
Let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And, man, before we get to Jerome, Tom just sent me the label for this beer. It is awesome. You guys are going to love it. All right, let's get to our man, Jerome Solomon, who joins us when he can. What's going on, buddy?
Uh-oh.
That doesn't sound good.
Tyler, did you connect Jerome via tomato soup can and string?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, that's way better.
Hello?
Whoa.
Did you have
one of those fancy black guy like Bluetooths that you wear around your neck?
No, I have a mute white people button that I have to disable it when I go on certain stations and
Got you. Okay,
you guys
this
white,
is the station you want to do that.
I don't have that problem. I'm talking to the brothers, but the brothers, we had these meetings, and that's one of our latest innovations is the mute white people button. So we don't say the wrong thing around you people.
It took you way too long to come up with that, honestly. That should have been something. You should have been working on that for years.
Man, the Panther Party, I don't know. I mean, they wanted to just get guns and protect themselves, but we got to be a little more sophisticated than that because,
trying to do things the right way.
Guns, it became against the law.
Yeah, we're trying to do it the right way. Well, Jerome, we were just talking about this this documentary that's going to come out. I mean, do you think that we're going to find anything new in this thing, or is this going to be pretty much a retelling of everything that we already know?
Which documentary were we talking about?
The documentary about the Astros cheating.
Well, if it's coming out now, I don't think we're going to get too much more than we know. I think it's one of those deals where 10 years from now, you could really get some good stuff because, people are far more willing to talk about what was going on when it's in the past as opposed to they're still in the middle of dealing with it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's when people get past their brand building and trying to, work their career, et cetera, they get a lot more loose tongue. And that's, I would expect that, you're not going to get anything. It'll be interesting just because what it'll probably do is put together all the stuff that we already know into one package, and for people that can't read and don't read, which is a high percentage of people, unfortunately, so you don't have to read the baseball report that the commissioner put out. You can just watch the documentary. But it won't divulge a whole lot more than what would happen if it came 10, 15, 20 years from now. Because 10, 15, 20 years from now, all of the people would talk, are much more likely to talk than they are now. And Carlos Beltran isn't going to sit down and give you hours and hours of interviews for this thing, right? 10 years from now, he might, or he would probably.
Did you get anything out of the Jordan documentary that you didn't know already, or was there anything that surprised you in that whole thing?
There really wasn't, and that's what's shocking for me, especially for reading and following so many people, and I know quite a few of them too, who were there at the time, and they act like they were surprised. It wasn't surprising. It was just entertaining. It was enjoyable. It took you back to a time that was a lot of fun for people who loved the NBA. But to act like this was new, it just was stunning to me because I'm like, what are y'all talking about, George? All the stuff Michael said, most of it he said at the time. I mean, and you can tell from what people, I think, have really gotten wrong, and it's not the viewer's fault because it's so shocking, but the stuff that Jordan was saying that's on the video and all the tapes and stuff that we saw, people are like, whoa, man. Well, he was saying that. If you look around and look in the room, there was media people right there. There were reporters in those rooms with a lot of that stuff that he said. All of the time, many of those times when they were cracking on Ryan, Jerry Krause and stuff, they did that publicly. They did that in front of the media. So this wasn't new in that sense. And even people were like, oh wow, it was food poisoning. It wasn't the flu. Didn't you know that 15 years ago? Or did I just imagine that I knew that? Because that was not news to me, but it's incredible.
Well, there's people who rumored that it was maybe a hangover.
I had always heard hangover. That was the only thing new to me was the pizza.
See, I'd heard the food poisoning a long, long time ago, and that didn't seem to be new to me at all. The hangover thing didn't make sense because it was so long after the night before that. I mean, you know, they fly into Utah and they spend the night. He can't make it to shoot around the next day, and the game is at night. That's a pretty brutal hangover. And as my boys would say, one of my old boys would say, and Jordan was a professional drinker. You know, he didn't roll with hangovers very often because, you know, he could handle himself in those situations, not to mention it's freaking Utah. And if anybody ever been to Utah, especially in the mid-90s or late-90s as it was, even Michael Jordan would have trouble getting a whole liquor on in Salt Lake City at the time. And they actually were in Park City, it seems like, and they were driving in. But now nothing that I didn't know turned out to be earth-shattering. You know what I mean? It was all very fun and interesting and very exciting to have it all put together in, you know, in the fashion that it was. But I wasn't stunned by anything.
You know, one of the things that we talked about yesterday on the show that I get frustrated with, and I'm of the belief that at this point it's hard to say that Michael Jordan's not the greatest ever. I also think that the only person really worthy of being in a discussion with him is LeBron James. Yet what frustrates me is that people feel the need to tear down LeBron to build up a case for Michael Jordan when it's so unnecessary because Jordan was just so great in his own right. But this documentary's brought out a whole new crop of LeBron James. He's barely a top 10 player in the league history. And I mean, it's crazy what something like this does to recency bias. When a documentary like this comes out, it's like instantly, oh my God, we're seeing, we've never seen anything like this, and nothing that's going on now is even great compared to this. That's the most frustrating thing to me.
Yeah, and I certainly understand that. What I don't get is those people, those Jordan lovers who just know he was the greatest, why they even waste the energy? Because in a lot of ways, it's not a fair fight. I mean, we weren't, then Fred was, you know, in that era, we weren't sitting around arguing in 1997, 98, 94, 93, even, who's the best player on the planet. We weren't having that argument. You know why?
You knew.
Because Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, they wouldn't let us have that argument because they quickly say, oh, but that dude there is different. All of these great, great players were saying Michael Jordan is better than us. All of them. And they had some of it in the documentary. Bird and Magic. Oh, no, that dude there, by far the best player. So we're like, well, he was better than all of these great players. It's going to take a ridiculous player to get anywhere close to him. And LeBron is that ridiculous player. But it's the weird thing is, in my estimation, is LeBron is clearly better than everybody else. Jordan is just better than him. But I don't have to make LeBron the fifth or sixth or seventh. That's ridiculous. I can confidently say, he might be the second best player, period. But there's a gap between two and three, and there's a gap between one and two. This documentary didn't make Jordan any better to me. Hell, he was already ridiculous.
there's also the fact that, I mean, LeBron still has work to do. I mean, he's not retiring.
He can still add to it.
Yeah,
he's the only one in that top 10 list or whatever who can still add to his resume. And believe me, he knows it.
I mean, he was playing at damn near a peak level.
Well, that's one of the two things that he definitely can win points on is that he was the thing that he wins points on Jordan are, period, that LeBron at 18 was better than Jordan at 18. Because LeBron at 18 was one of the top four or five players in the NBA. Jordan at 18 wasn't even one of the top four or five players in college basketball.
Right.
He wasn't even a top 20 player in college basketball. All right. But of course, that when Jordan was a freshman in college basketball, he made the great shot, but he wasn't one of the best players in the country. And granted, that same year, Hakeem Olajuwon was coming off the bench for U of H. Hakeem Olajuwon didn't bust a grape against Jordan and North Carolina in that NCAA tournament game that everybody blamed Rob Williams for having lost, even though Michael Young was one out of whatever as well. But LeBron has Jordan there. And then LeBron at his age, and it ain't the age, but at this many years into the league, is still one of the two or three best players. You can argue wherever you want to put him in the league. That's incredible. And there's no I don't care how much you dislike or hate LeBron. You're a fool if you don't think he's going to be one of the best five players next year and one of the best five or ten players the year after that. It's crazy. I mean, you know how much I'm crazy about Tom Brady. It ain't even like Tom Brady. Tom Brady can win a Super Bowl, but he ain't one of the best, you know, five, ten players in the NFL anymore. LeBron could still be that 3 years from now. It's ridiculous.
Well, is it possible then that we, when it's all said and done, that we look at, okay, Jordan, let's say Jordan's the greatest, but LeBron had the longer, greater, because like when you look at numbers after all this is said and done, there's not, like, if you just look at pure numbers, points, rebounds, all that stuff, it's not even going to be close because LeBron's going to have so much more of a body of work. Like, so
well,
is
that's
there,
the thing. He's gonna have more games and more attempts at it. And with the three-pointer, that's changed some stuff too. But I said those two big things that LeBron has over Jordan, that what he was at 18 and what he is now late in his career, still the best. The third thing that he has over MJ is going to the finals 8 years in a row and taking a couple of scrub teams as part of that. Well, he doesn't win that one as easily as he should because Jordan went to the finals 6 out of 8 and took off a year and a half in the middle of that. You know, so he gets the pass on that, even though I think it's pretty darn obvious, even based on people who weren't paying attention and watched his documentary and saw The Last Dance. If Jordan had played all of those years, the Bulls were not going to win 8 in a row. They just weren't. There was too much going on. And the team they would have had in those 2 years the Rockets won wouldn't have compared. It wouldn't have compared to the other teams they had when they won it. They needed Dennis Rodman to re-energize and change that and stuff. But again, you know, you can still use it as, hey, I wasn't there. So you got that. I will say this real quick that I pointed out to several people, you know, even in joking about the Rockets not getting – much love and nothing from Olajuwon or anything in the documentary. Well, yeah, you Rockets fans, you didn't really want the Rockets to be mentioned in this documentary because you would have just got Jordan laughing.
Yeah.
He laughed at everybody. So the Rockets kind of got a pass. In fact, it makes you wonder in how the editing was done that maybe they did discuss the Rockets, and since that was the one team that Jordan didn't dog, or the one player in Olajuwon that he didn't disrespect, they're like, oh, we ain't going to put that in there. We just put in him ripping everybody.
There wasn't enough heat in there for this.
We're not bringing that up. Yeah.
Well, Jerome, so, it's funny you mentioned Hakeem at UH because that's my column for tomorrow is how he evolved. And you mentioned Rob Williams. He was not the best player at UH until his last year there. Because it was Clyde Drexler the year before. It was Rob Williams his first year. But he evolved so fast into such an amazing player, and I don't think he's appreciated enough. So that'll be hitting Sports Map tomorrow, just a quick plug.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so that'll be good. You could post the box score from that North Carolina loss, and it jumped out at me. I mean, I remember it all, but when I just looked at it within the last week or two, And I I said, oh, darn, that's the actual box score. And I pulled it up and looked at it, and I was like, oh, man, that's right. Dream wasn't even starting then. You know, yeah. He was just a non-factor in that game and et cetera. And I had no memory at all of Michael Young. Like, I think Rob was 0-for-8, and everybody was freaking out. And the coaches just give so much better quotes then than they do now, where, you know, Guy Lewis is like, hell, he ain't want to win. He wasn't even trying to win at one point or something like that.
He played his worst game of the season. Yeah, he played his worst game of the season, and Michael Young played like garbage, and they still barely lost. I mean, they had a chance to win till late. So
exactly, and it was a much better game than people gave him credit for. And, I mean, North Carolina had the best player in the country in James Worthy, you know, and Sam Perkins is dominant. And, I mean, they just had – they had a great team, and the Cougars were right there, you know. But those players and those teams in those Final Fours, and I mean, I'm sorry, you put LeBron James in college ball when he came out for three seasons, he's going to win an NCAA title. He's going to the Final Four because he's that much better than everybody. Michael Jordan went to what, one Final Four?
Yeah, for freshman year.
He wasn't the best player on the team at all, you know. And so that tells you how different it was. But those players in those Final Fours in all those years turned into the 90s NBA, which is just the greatest era of hoops we've seen. I don't know if you guys saw, and I missed it until the last few minutes, and then I went and watched the replay. But NBA Inside Edition had a 90s reunion on a YouTube Zoom the other day on Sunday afternoon. And so you name all the top players in the 90s. They were all on this Zoom together telling great stories. Man, it was hilarious. It was just fun listening to those guys talk about, you know, all the stuff they did with each other, the fights they had and going at each other. And Shaquille O'Neal told a story that I hadn't heard this one before, but I know I heard the lie, but he was like Jordan. He had the lie. He told everybody that David Robinson had dissed him and didn't sign an autograph for him when he was a teenager, and that's why he went so hard whenever he played the Spurs and played David Robinson. And David Robinson's like, yeah, man. Then one day we got on a bus together, and I said, hey, Shaq, man, what's, you know, I'm sorry, man, about not signing your autograph when he was a kid. I don't know what happened, but that's not really like me. And Shaq was like, oh, I was lying. I just made that up. So he had gone around for years in the NBA telling everybody that Dave Robinson had dissed him. And it was just – and they were rolling. And other players hadn't heard that either. And it's just – but those – I'm sorry. These guys here nowadays can play, but it's a different game, completely different style of play. I love the 90s. And I love those players. And, I think they'd wax these guys today. But it's such a different game. It's not even a fair – fight to even discuss it. But man, there were so many great players, whereas now the eighth, ninth, or tenth best player in the league today, he just ain't that great to me. He's just better than a bunch of other people, but I'm not being fair, and I know it.
Yeah, that's not being fair. That's not being fair to James Harden at all.
Think about that real quick. Like, James Harden is killing it, and he's doing some stuff. And people are like, it's ridiculous to sit there and say Michael Jordan would average 45 points a game in today's NBA. But James Harden can bust you for 37. So, yeah, I think Mike could drop 40. You know? But again, that's based on the sort of lack of respect for today's player and the reverence for yesterday's player.
Yeah, I think that's a full-on argument for another time, because I don't agree with you. I think there's a romanticizing a little bit about
era. Oh,
because,
I agree. I'm certainly romanticizing, but the romanticizing, though, Fred, even within that, I admit there's a degree of romanticism in it, but even within that, those guys, the special ones then, had to be so special to be special. You know, Horace Grant was just a player. Huh? you know, and he would just be just a player in today's league. But Karl Malone would be a bad man today. David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, on and on and on. All of them would be special today, not just another guy. And that's there's a difference there. But yeah, it's romanticizing because that's the greatest love.
Well, I think that's why there's maybe another conversation to be had, because I think you could also say that, I mean, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, could these guys, how would you use them in today's game? Big guys who are slow and can't shoot, what's their role in today's, how many guys are like them in today's NBA? That's just not the way the game works anymore.
Yeah, and that certainly would be an issue. It would minimize their greatness, no doubt. I mean, they would not have the effect on games that they had then. I mean, that's why Jordan went number three, because of the effect the big man had on the game back then. So no, they would not have the effect on the games. They would still be great. You know what I'm saying? They would be so much, dude. Yeah, people running around here trying to tell me Rudy Gobert can play.
Well, please. Here's what I'll say, and this is when we were talking. We talked yesterday about
Rudy Gobert couldn't step on the floor with any one of those guys I just named on either end of the court.
So
he's
yesterday,
only bad because there's nobody else can play.
Jerome, yesterday we were talking about how different. It's hard to compare different eras, and people romanticize their own eras. And we were talking about Bill Russell. And how Bill Russell always gets thrown into this greatest conversation, even though the guys he was playing against were like cab drivers in the offseason. I said, I believe today, if you take Joel Embiid, I don't think Joel Embiid's anything special. I think he's a good big man by today's standards. I think if you took Joel Embiid today and put him in a time machine and drove him back to 1959, I think he would eat Bill Russell's lunch.
Yeah.
He'd eat Bill Russell's lunch.
Well, no. He'd tear everybody else up, and he'd give Russell everything that Russell could handle. Eat his lunch, I wouldn't go that far, because Bill Russell's more of a man than Joel Embiid. So all of that mental stuff that makes a difference, Bill Russell wins all of that. Bill Russell's faster than him, quicker than him, could move. He's not going to deliver offensively, smarter than him, much more intelligent of a player than him. So, yeah, Embiid would – now he averaged 50 a game. he Wilt Chamberlain it, but he would go, you know, 38-20 against Bill Russell, and Russell would go 25-28. You know what I mean? And it would be a battle, and Russell's team would win because he's smarter and better and more intelligent and a better basketball player. But against everybody else, he'd average 50 points a game. Dwight Howard. Same thing. Mentally, when the money's on the line and that pressure's on you, he's going to wilt. Not Chamberlain.
Right. But
he's going to wilt like a bad vegetable.
Like if you put Giannis back in that time, like who in the world back then could check him on a basketball court? I don't believe
nobody,
there's a human.
Nobody in the world now can check him. So of course nobody could. Giannis would be ridiculous. Oh yeah, no, I'm not taking away from these guys, but you're also talking with Giannis. You're talking about one of the top three players, period.
Yeah,
and you put him in any era, he's ridiculous, and he's more ridiculous in that era than now. But again, that's 50 years ago. You take Giannis back 20 years ago to the mid 90s, he's still a bad man, but he ain't the man he is today. You know, he's in the mix with all those guys. But he's just one of those guys. I'm not one of those people who are like, oh man, this guy, they can't play with those guys. Oh no, they could play with them. They could certainly play with them. I'm just more of those guys can play with these guys. The average guys in the 90s can't play with the average guys today. You know, but the great ones, oh man, the great ones would still do the same. And it was a different game. It was played differently. It was tougher. In a lot of ways, but the grit and mentality that those guys had translates to being more difficult for these guys to handle. And it's not all their fault, but you know, I just don't think these guys are mentally tough enough to deal with what those guys had to deal with on the regular. You know what I mean? And, you know, but it's basketball.
Jerome, I hate to interrupt you. Jerome, I hate to interrupt you. I'd love to keep going with this, but we're way over. We got to get to a break here, and we'll continue this next week because there's about 10 things that I want to dispute there that you said. But appreciate the time as always, man.
So you didn't get the fight back, so I win. Cool. I win on points.
We'll allow it this time.
You're ahead at halftime. You're ahead at halftime.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Later.
Well, let's go to a guy who really does win. My man, Lawyer Dave. And if you've been in an accident, everybody's getting back on the road, so you're probably going to get in an accident. Car, 18-wheeler, workplace. Maybe you're back at work. You slip and fall. Call my man, Lawyer Dave. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, Fred. Hey, Blitzers. It's a beautiful afternoon, and the roads are getting busy again. And like Fred just said, people are still driving crazy or probably crazier. So if you get in an accident, any kind of an accident, anywhere, and it's not your fault, give me a holler at 713-626-8900. Lawyer Dave, Houston-based lawyer David Mestemaker, will take care of you.
Yeah, and what happens if they're hurt and they need to go to a doctor and they can't afford it? What happens to them then?
Well, we find a doctor that'll treat them without any money out of their pocket up front. That happens in lots and lots of times, especially in car wrecks. Well, people's health insurance will say, well, we're not going to cover that, or you go to the hospital, they say, well, we don't treat folks like you unless you pay cash. So what we do is we find a doctor and the specialty they need, get them to the doctor if they need an Uber ride, so they get the treatment, they get better, they can go back to work for sure.
And you don't get paid a dime until they win, so there's no money out of pocket. You don't charge for your consultations. So if they got a question, they can call you right now.
Oh, yeah. They can call me anytime or tweet me at Lawyer Dave Law. Or hit me up at LawyerDave.com. By all means, any which way you want to find me or through Fred, find me. I'll answer any question that I know the answer to, and if I don't, I'll find somebody who does for sure.
All right. Need a lawyer? What do they do?
They better dial Dave.
ESPN 97.5.